Tim Pichot, the Liberty Advisor here. We are just making our way back, still from Anarchapoco. Last night we crossed the border from Tijuana into San Diego. So right now we're in San Diego, making our way back to Phoenix. And on the plane, I both started and read the Atrahasis. I believe it's spelled A-T-R-A-H-A-S-I-S. And I highly recommend this book. And you can get through the whole thing. I was, you know, going back, rereading it, probably in about 2.5 hours. It's absolutely fascinating read. And basically what it is it's very similar to the Noah Ark story from the Bible. But however, predating Noah's Ark, you'd have the Enuma Elish, which was about 600 years before Noah's Ark. And about 600 years before that was the Atrahasis. And I think about, I forgot if it was like 600 or 1,000 years before that, I believe it's called like the Eridu Genesis, and there's some other Mesopotamian creation myth tales as well. But long story short, what you have is, I guess it'll be a little bit long story, try to keep this maybe like 10 minutes or so. But what you had is you had the supreme god Anu, and then he had his two sons, which were Enlil, who is like a warrior god, and these were all sort of lowercase, these were all sort of gods as well, but the top father god was Anu. And he was mainly residing up in heaven. It's hard to really tell if heaven was a like a mountaintop, or if it was a spaceship, or if it was another planet or celestial body. But he got to the point where essentially he got like his management team in place. And so he had his sons taking care of things, but the main son in charge was Enlil, and then his brother was Enki. And Enki was in charge of things like, I think like the seas and water, sort of like a Poseidon, Neptune type guy in the ancient myths. And what was going on is they had all these other gods, which they called the Ajiji, who were mainly doing all the work. And it was theorized that they were all clones, basically, of Enlil. And they were doing a lot of backbreaking work, digging the canals, digging the Tigris and Euphrates, and really trying to make Earth a place that was more inhabitable. But Enlil was being basically sort of a jerk, and the Ajiji kept complaining to him, like, hey, listen, like, we can't keep doing this. This is, you know, this is absolutely killing us, even though they were immortal. It was just, you know, a lot of painstaking work, and they really feel like Enlil wasn't living up to his end of the bargain and was being a jerk. And so one day there was a revolt, and they all went up to his, you know, celestial palace and surrounded it at night when he was sleeping. But one of the guards happened to be awake and awakened Enlil and was like, hey, you know, all the Ajiji, you know, are surrounding us. And so then what happened was Enlil called up his dad, Anu, and also Enki, and was like, you know, basically being like a little baby, like, hey, I need to get out of here, like these guys are all trying to kill me. And so they ended up you know, coming up with this plan, or a lot of the plan was actually Enki's, that'd be E-N-K-I, and Enlil, E-N-L-I-L. And the plan they had was they wanted to take the existing hominid on Earth that was walking around, sort of like a primate, Neanderthal type man, and they wanted to take some of the Ajiji, you know, which you could say maybe they were like what the Bible might refer to as the fallen angels or the watchers. And so a lot of these things are very similar. People call them different things and they get like all hung up on it. But, you know, a lot of the concepts are very, very similar. So, you know, I'm not here to try to offend anybody. This is just a historical retelling of one of the oldest documents on Earth. It's actually in stone tablets. I think the most precise one is actually in London at one of the museums over there. I believe Josh Sigerson's actually seen all those, as you know, as well as Sumerian King's List. And Atrahasis was actually one of the names, the name of the king who was in charge. I think he was in charge for like 18,000 years. But, you know, getting back to the story, you had this one leader of the Ajiji who staged the revolt basically as a, you know, Enlil to give him some sort of satisfaction in this whole thing. They wanted to make an example of him. And so that guy was sacrificed. His name's sort of the G. And I'm doing this all off the top of my head, so I can't remember his name right now. But so they sacrificed that guy. But they decided that they would keep his spirit alive. And so when they were going through and making their, basically the humans, what they decided to do was take a lot of these different Ajijis, were kind of like spitting into this vial, basically taking their DNA, taking the DNA of their leader, taking the DNA of the hominid, and mixing it together so that it was like clay. So, I mean, very similar to the Genesis story, when it's like, and then man was made out of the dirt and the mud, or whatever the exact line from that is. I mean, very, very similar, except it predates Genesis by about 1100 years. And then there was the mother goddess, I believe her name was like Nuntu or Nintu or something like that. A lot of them have a lot of different names for the same person, so it, you know, it does get sort of confusing. And so, so they went through, created the first man, but they made it so that way they could reproduce. And so the Ajiji, which were, I think, all men, is what it makes it seem like. There's no mention of any women. They couldn't reproduce. They were basically relying on the Anunnaki to, they were sort of at their beck and call. The Anunnaki had the control over these lower gods, the Ajiji, because, if they can't reproduce and you've got a limited amount of people, there's no way you can sort of stage a revolt. Whereas once you, once the humans on Earth started mating, after, something like, in one account it said it was 1,200 years, one it might be like 36,000 years. Obviously it's a big discrepancy there, but, we weren't alive back then, so we don't know. But anyways, eventually it got to the point where the humans were, annoying Enlil, and he's like, hey man, like, I can't even sleep. These humans are making a bunch of noise. And he wanted to essentially wipe him out with a virus, or a disease, I think, not a virus, because we know those aren't real. So it was a disease to wipe them out with. And then Enki was like, he was the sympathetic one. He was the one that loved the humans and wanted to, and he was always arguing with his brother. Like, him and his brother did not get along at all, but his brother was like the kind of the supreme guy on ruling planet Earth, even though his father was, up in heaven, but he was the one down here ruling things. So then what happened was, Enki devised a plan and was like, hey, if you guys want Enlil to quit killing you guys have to, and it's actually his Enlil's son, I think, was doing all the dirty work. They're like, hey, you've got to make these, you've got to pray to him, and you've got to go and, give him different offerings. And then eventually his son, which I think his name sort of the M is like, was it Nintu, but it was something very similar to that, like Nimtar. He felt bad that, hey, all these humans now are worshiping me. And, he stopped, and then everything was all good. And, for a while. And then it got to the point where eventually, the humans started reproducing again and making too much noise for Enlil. And then Enlil, once again, was just like, I've had it with these humans. And then the other thing that was going on is the Ajiji then started taking, the hot earth babes at the time and started reproducing with them and then creating, what I guess we would call like the Nephilim. Now, they didn't call it Nephilim in the book, but that's basically essentially what they were. And so you had these sort of hybrids, and so now, since the Ajiji were gods themselves, they were gonna maybe get to the point where they can start rivaling these other gods, like the Enki and Enlil and all the supreme gods at the time. So they couldn't have that, and it got to the point where Enlil is basically like, we need to wipe them all out. And so he wanted Enki to then create a flood, and Enki's like, basically, screw you, like, I'm not, if you want to do it, you can do it, but I'm not having any part of this. And I think it was, again, he relied on his son to do the dirty work, and so they created a flood for, I believe, for 40 days, where it covered all the highest mountaintops. But before that went on, Now, I guess if I back things up, that plan to make offerings to Enlil's son, which stopped the disease the first time, that was a plan that Enki had come up with, and he gave it to Atra-Hasi, which was the main king at the time. And he was a friend with him, and he was always going on walks with him, and you know, basically, you know, trying to, it was one of his friends. And so Enlil was at the point where he was, you know, sort of pissed that, you know, Enki, his brother, was giving away these secrets of what he was doing. So he had to make a, he made him make a vow, like, hey, you're not going to go tell him that we're going to wipe him out in a flood. And so Enki then basically telepathically communicated in a dream with Atra-Asi to say, hey, at this time tomorrow, you need to be outside this one reed wall. And then, so then Enki starts telling the plan to the wall, when really as a way around this. So instead of telling it directly to Atra-Asi, he's telling it to the wall, but Atra-Asi is on the other side of the wall, and, you know, telling him, hey, you know, you need to build this ark and the ship, and, you know, here's how you do it, and you've got to have this tarp from the inside, and, you know, we're going to get some animals, and you need to, you know, it's basically everyone's going to be wiped out. And, you know, Atra-Asi was friends with Enki, and so Enki didn't want him to perish. And then after, we're getting a more beautiful view here, but then after about, I think it was like 40 days, and the water started receding, and then they figured, like, Enlil figured, okay, well, everybody's probably no more humans now. And then he was pretty surprised to see this this ark with Atra-Asi on it, and then realized that this was the work of of Enki, his brother, telling Atra-Asi what was going on. And so it was really, looks like my gimbal over here is having a little bit of trouble, but yeah, still trying to figure out this this camera, this Osmo Pocket 3, highly recommend it. And so that was basically sort of the story in a nutshell, obviously leaving out a few things. It's only like 60 pages long, so, you know, you can go through and read this. It's really is fascinating. Now, the other book I read recently was the Book of Enoch, actually all three of them. And I'm not going to get into that today just because there's a lot to unpack there. But I think there's actually, you can probably make the case that Atra-Asi, or I guess Enki, you know, could also be Enoch. And then Enoch, in the third book of Enoch, it talks about how he had 72 different names. And so they think it could also be like Thoth in Egyptian mythology, which could then be Viracocha and Quetzalcoatl and Culiacan and Quetzalcoatl. I'm not sure if I already said that one or not. And, you know, the ones that built the pyramids and really sharing knowledge with the man. And since everything is inverted in this, you know, crazy world we have, and here we got a little plug for Learn the Risk on the back of Tina's sweatshirt, where you guys can pick one up at learntherisk.org. And since everything is inverted, now this is getting into a little bit of controversial subject, and I'm not doing this to be some edgelord or just to be, you know, or to, you know, make people hate me. I'm doing this from a place of love and trying to actually figure out what the truth is and everything. It's a little windy, so hopefully this is picking all this up. And so my sort of thesis on all this, and I had this thesis before I'd even finished or started even the Atra-Asi, and actually before I'd even started the Books of Enoch, the next one I'm going to read is the Enuma Elish, is that the God in the Bible, and so if you read the Bible in Hebrew, it'd be Elohim. Elohim is also a plural term. Or then sometimes, you know, El could refer to that, which would also probably be like Anu. But I believe that the God of the Old Testament, now again, this is subject to change. I'm not an absolute expert in this. You know, as new information that I read comes about, you know, I'm just going to take it. So I'm not saying this as like an absolute authority figure on this. I'm just saying this as a layman, you know, who's read a lot of history in his life and just also knows that they essentially lie about everything. So my sort of thesis in all this is that Enlil is the God of the Old Testament. And if you want to consider like who might be the snake, it would probably be Enki. But Enki was the one that loved humans and wanted to see humans thrive and survive. And his brother Enlil that wanted to wipe him out. I mean, that's why you've got things like in the Book of Samuel in the Old Testament where they talk about things like you know, if there's a, you know, one guy in the city who doesn't pray to me, you need to go there, you need to wipe out the whole city. You know, you're allowed to rape them, murder them. You know, as a matter of fact, I don't even want one single animal. I don't want one person to be alive after this. I mean, does that sound like an all-loving creator God, like the God that we have in the New Testament? I mean, it doesn't really sound like that to me, at least. And again, I mean, that's just my own observations on all this. And so since everything in life is basically inverted, you know, the more that you know history, the more that you know that, you know, what's up is down and down is up. And, you know, essentially what I think what they did was they took the God of the Old Testament, was Enlil, and Yeshua or Jesus might be more of like an Enki. And so they, you know, are constantly, because, you know, there was all sorts of different names for him, or something, or someone similar to that. And so, of course, you know, in the Bible, then they're going to want to make the snake from the tree of wisdom, because it was Enki giving the wisdom, but he was also the one that helped, that created the humans and his idea, and was the one that loved them and wanted to see them flourish. And it was his brother Enlil who was the one that was actually in charge of Earth. You know, I think if anything, he was more or less the enforcer or the administrator or the Satan. And so I think maybe the greatest trick the devil ever played was in the Old Testament, getting to you to pray to him, as opposed to let's say an Enki, who was the one that actually created everything. Now this is, you know, this isn't me. I mean, there's a lot of other people who are saying this, but you know, the other story I told, you know, that is, you know, that has been one of the oldest stories on Earth. It's in the tablets. A lot of other, you know, creation myths are very, very similar to that. And so this is not just coming out of left field nowhere. And, you know, and nothing I said is crazier than anything in the Bible. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Bible is basically a copy of this stuff, at least the book of Genesis. And, you know, then you can get into like Egyptian mythology. And we're not going to do all this today. But anyways, just a fascinating read. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Read it yourself. And hopefully you guys can hear this. Like I said before, it is kind of windy over here. And yeah, sort of, you know, finally we are a little beautiful view over here. But anyways, Tim Pichot, Liberty Advisor, signing off. And yeah, truth to freedom. Just always trying to find out, you know, where we're coming from, what's going on, and advancing freedom and taking back humanity, taking back our own freedom. Nothing I said was meant to try to, you know, piss off Christians, try to piss off people reading the Bible. It's just going back, looking through history, and then trying to make observations, just knowing that a lot of history was a lie, knowing that you had, you know, mortal men in, you know, Council of Nicaea, and, you know, even like the image of Christ is, was it like Caesar Borgia, I think was his name, and that was a guy who, it was actually like the Pope's son. And I think it was either Pope Alexander, or I think it was one of the early on popes. And that guy was a bad dude. Like, he was the guy who, I think he like raped his sister and like killed his brother, and like he was a bad, bad dude. And like, so that's actually the image of Yeshua. And that's not my opinion. That's actual fact of, you know, who the guy was. And I think it was like Cesar, I forgot how to pronounce the last name. It was like Borgia, like B-O-U-R-G-E-R-E or something like that. I'm not sure about that one. But anyway, it's just a layman who's been, you know, reading about this stuff quite a bit and just on this spiritual journey. And, you know, I encourage you guys to do your own research and let me know in the comments, you know, if you think I'm right, if you think I'm a dumbass, if you think I should be reading this. You know, I'm sure there's going to be something saying, you know, maybe you need to, you know, repent and, you know, you're blasphemous. But, you know, if anything, you know, I'm coming from a good heart. And so if I'm wrong in this, I think the creator God of the universe or of the earth would know that my intentions are good on this. And I'm not doing this just to be controversial or disprove anything. But, you know, if you are wrong on this, then you've been praying to the devil. And so, you know, I think that I can come from a good place knowing that I'm trying to do good and I'm not some bad guy. And you know what, before I was ever looking into any of this stuff, I picked my fight with the money changers. First time I ever gave a talk on any of this sort of stuff was 2010, and someone was like, "You ripped off the book of Revelations." And I'm like, "I've never even read the book of what is the book of Revelations?" And so the fact that I came up with the same enemies as Yeshua, you know, I think that says something. And he wasn't always hanging around with the best people, and he wasn't, hanging around, the people he confided with weren't necessarily the best. And so, you know what, everybody wants to put everything on a pedestal, but, I'm just trying to do good. I've brought someone back from the dead with bare hands before. I've basically just grew back this finger after doctors said I had no chance of keeping it. I'm picking the fight with the Federal Reserve and the central banks and the Bank of International Settlements. And just trying to do good. And so, take care, everybody.